Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions Week 10 matchup with the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll discuss our impressions of the team, what we expect out of the Chargers, and we'll also talk Lions, who are returning to action coming out of their bye week. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Ainger, who's named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also a mentor of numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. As always, it's great to have you here, Coach.
Oh, great to be back, Matt. After that week off, it's kind of depressing when you don't get to get ready for a Lions game.
It was quite a quiet weekend for the NFL for Lions fans. We got some other games, but definitely looking forward to talking more Lions and watching more Lions. And as we get into it, just a reminder to the listeners, please hit that subscribe or like button. It is helping us build momentum. Now, right off the top, let's hear from Coach Campbell. He talked about how the Lions actually did some self-scouting during their bye week and was asked if anything surprised him.
I don't think necessarily surprised. I just think it, I think the obvious or the, turnover takeaway ratio, we need to be better. Both sides, red zone, both sides. And there's a number of reasons behind that that I'm not going to get into. And then third quarter production or lack thereof, we can be better on both sides, So I think those are the three things that we've kind of came away with. There's other areas, but those were the big ones collectively as a team.
Now, that was great hearing Campbell talk about self-reflection there. And Coach, it's something I've become more aware of in recent years about how much you can learn when you stop and reflect on yourself. But Coach, talk to us about this self-scouting. What does that mean?
Well, there's a bunch of different ways you can look at it. One of the biggest things is you can go back and check your tendencies, scout, what you're doing on offense, what you're doing on defense, what you're doing on special teams. Are you running trick plays? How many times did you go down for fourth down? How many times did you make decisions during a situation that you probably shouldn't have? I think, that's probably the biggest things they went back to. I know he talked about the third quarter. He talked about red zone offense, red zone defense. That's what they were looking at. Why are we not scoring as much as we did last year in the red zone? Why are more teams scoring more against us this year in the red zone? And so that's kind of what the self-scouting is. Hey, go look in the mirror, and I think it's, over the years, we did that all the time, even at our level. And it really helps you out because sometimes you don't realize, oh my God, I keep running that play always towards my bench so I can see what it looks like. And other teams pick that stuff up. So that's probably what he's talking about, that. And I think when we talked about, before the previous game, that they were going to go back and work on individual technique and stuff. And again, that's all part of self-scouting.
That's awesome to talk about and think about. I appreciate that perspective because you don't, as a normal fan, probably think that the team goes and scouts themselves. But it makes so much sense once you talk about it and you realize, hey, you can scout yourself the way you would scout another team. And then you could ask yourself, how would you prepare for yourself? And then that would allow you to make some improvements down the stretch.
Well, and I think your OC and DC, I mean, Glenn and Johnson, they're probably looking at each other. You know, he probably went to Glenn and said, hey, break me down. See what you get from me. You know, how would you defend me? And I, you know, those are, that's part of the team concept too, but it's still self-scouting because, and then the biggest thing is leaving your ego at the door and listening to what the guys are telling you and not going, that's not how I do it. You know, and it's, and I don't see that with this staff.
No, this staff seems to have what I think some people might call like a growth mindset, if you will, which is you're always evolving, always learning. Because that's the thing. We know a football team in September is not the same in December. At least you hope not. Because if you are, you're probably not playing into January. So, Coach, we talked about the Lions mid-year review in our last episode. They're 6-2. They've had a great first half. Coming out of the bye week, Coach Campbell was asked about his goals moving forward, and this is what he shared.
Well, I know this. By December, we need to be playing our best football collectively and up to date. Like the Chargers, we need to play our best football game. We still have left so much out there, and as good as we played to get 6 wins, you know, we've been able to complement each other, but yet I would say we have not played our best football collectively, offense, defense, and special teams. So, we got to play a clean game. You know, we got to come out with no turnovers. We need to get our takeaways back. You know, we talked about red zone and those things. We need a fast start in the third quarter. You know, so I just think cleaning some of those things up, our focus to the details of what we're doing, got to take another step up, another notch up.
So, Coach, are you encouraged by hearing Campbell's comments about all those things that they want to do better, even though they're off to a 6-2 start?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, you're going to, hey, we're 6-2. That's great. But, you know, that's at the halfway part, you know, plus one. And so you have to continue to get better. You have to keep climbing. I mean, there, you know, we're getting healthier and now we can hopefully get better. And I, you know, those are the biggest things as a coaching staff that you have to do is, you know, that there's always room for growth. Again, going back to the self-scouting. What you just said and going back and finding out what your tendencies are. And I think that's, you know, that's huge. It's huge that, you know, they're not happy with being 6-2. We are as fans right now. Well, some of us are, there's a lot of people out there. There's still a lot of people out there upset about, you know, the free agency and the signing period and oh my God, we can't do this and that. But yeah, we're 6-2 and hopefully that's going to shine this weekend when we play the Chargers.
Now, Coach, as the second half gets underway, is there anything that you would like to see the team improve on in the second half to help with success or anything that you are looking for?
Well, I think, you know, stopping the bleeding during games, you know, you look at the two games that we lost, there were certain things we just couldn't stop or we couldn't get out of our way. And I think Campbell even mentioned that if we could stay out of our own way, you know, it would be a lot better. And again, I the third quarter, is still, you know, one that, you know, keeps popping up every week and week out. And then some of the red zone stuff. But I think, you know, I think that stuff's all going to change as we continue to get healthier. You know, I think we've been limited a little bit on offense. And I think we've been limited a little bit on defense on things that we can do because of some of those injuries and stuff. And, you know, we continue to win with the short offensive line or supposedly not enough path rushers and you know, we don't have the breakaway wide receiver, but hey, we're 6-2. And as we get healthier and things come together and that week off's huge. Even Campbell said that, you know, that's a time to recharge your motor, time to, you know, look at yourself, time to get and watch some guys get healthy. And, you know, there's guys banged up that are playing. Boy, that week off is going to be big for them.
Awesome. You know, I'm looking forward to continued growth. I mean, look at so many players and how many of them have grown from a year ago this time. And if they even continue to grow just a little bit more this season, we have a very exciting second half in store for us. Now, during the bye week, the Lions made a trade. We talked about that a little bit. And then there were some other transactions that took place. The Lions released running back Devin Ozigbo. They elevated undrafted free agent linebacker Trevor Nowoski from the practice squad and then just re-signed Ozigbo to the practice squad. Now, Coach Campbell talked about the addition of Trevor Nowoski and was asked if there was something they needed at linebacker position or what was it that caused them to sign him. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, he was being poached potentially. So, you know, we didn't want to lose him. And we felt like we had the flexibility to make that move. We feel like we're going to need him before it's all said and done. And we like where he's going. He's another young guy that we've got on this roster that's really developing and growing. And he's, you know, that's a good room right now. All seven of those guys, counting him, I mean, it's an outstanding room. Between what they're able to do defensively, but special teams too. I mean, we rely on them for a lot. So, yeah, he was a guy that we didn't want to lose.
Coach Trevor has a pretty incredible story. As most of our listeners know, he's an undrafted free agent. He made the practice squad out of training camp. He came out of Saginaw Valley State. Now he is signed to the active roster halfway through the season. Now, Coach, when you found out about this move, I mean, tell me about your reaction and what you were thinking.
Oh, I was so excited. Of course, I've got a pretty good relationship with him and his dad. You know, I was with Saginaw Bay last year, and he was part of the recruiting class that my son went on. So I've known him for 5 years. And just for him to, you know, reach his goal, reach his dream of making, you know, actually even suiting up for the Detroit Lions now that he's on the active roster. And, you know, we knew it. He survived what, four or five different transitions during the previous 8 weeks, you know, where they were cutting people and bringing people on and cutting and they're keeping around. So, you know, you knew that it was going to be a good sign that eventually they were going to bring him up. You know, and I think the biggest thing, what, you know, Coach Campbell said, the other teams were after him. You know, he's a big bodied, fast kid that can run, that's got a heart of gold and is going to give you everything he has for you, every minute, every second of every day. And I think that's what this team is built on. And he can, you know, he can back up a lot of positions and help us on specialty teams. So pretty excited for him. And I know that that's not his only goal, but you know, he's going to reach for the next one. That's for sure.
So then that didn't surprise you one bit when Coach Campbell said they were worried he might be getting poached off the practice squad.
No, I was, we talked about that, you know, before they signed him to the practice squad, you know, when they came out. I mean, I talked to Trevor and I talked to his dad and, you know, there were other teams that were interested in him, but you know, he's a homegrown, Michigan blue collar boy and to play for Dan Campbell and his staff. You know, you know, when you got a big bodied, fast kid that can play linebacker like that, you know, he's going to hook on with the program and, you know, he's got the, you know, again, he was Division II football. There's a lot of good football being played in Division II. I think the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears is a Division II quarterback. And I think Kaminsky's a Division II guy and we can go on and on So I figured that they would keep him in that situation and not let him leave because he does fit the mold of what the Detroit Lions are building.
Well, from the beginning, if I back up a little bit here, mm-hmm. I remember when you texted me saying that Trevor had signed in the spring as an undrafted free agent, and you started telling me about the type of player he was. And you and I went to training camp, got to see him battle there. And Coach, few, if any, have more insight than you do to the game that Trevor Nowoski brings to the NFL. But let's look at this. The Lions are super deep at linebacker, but nevertheless, they're keeping Trevor. They're elevating him to the active roster. So what is it that you think has caught the Lions' eyes that want to keep him around?
Well, I know that when the season began, the special team coach loved him. And of course I watched him on all special teams because that's where you make it in the NFL when you're an undrafted free agent. And he can shine on that. You know, he can back up a ton of positions in there. You know, you got Houston got hurt, you know, on special teams. You know, Campbell's been running some special teams. Rodrigo's been running some special teams. You know, Maven, of course, and those guys. And you need those guys that you can put in a situation. You know, Campbell's getting more reps on the defensive side of the ball, whether it's at inside or out, you know, off linebacker. And so those are things that Trevor can fill in for you. You know, I watched him play. I mean, I told you about this at the Senior Bowl last year, talking to scouts, and they're like, you know, how fast is he? I said, he's fast. The kid can run. Well, you don't know fast. Well, I'm a 4 or 5 kid. That's pretty fast. And so, you know, those are things. And again, as Coach Campbell had mentioned, he continues to rise. He continues to make plays. He continues to develop. And so I can see why the Lions are going, we don't want to lose this guy, because, you know, he can be around with us for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You know, again, his work ethics are you know, as well as any guys that have been around. You know, I watched him in the summer, whether it was morning workouts or whether it was getting his extra workouts with him and Jake and Duke and some of the boys at night on their own time, not on assigned time. And again, you know, great leaders are the ones that are leading when they're not seen. And that's Trevor Nowoski.
Well, that sounds like a Detroit Lion through and through. Sounds like a person that is in this culture that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have been building. And I remember the preseason, we talked about how well he excelled at special teams, and that even caught, you know, the media's attention eye during some of the preseason play. And here's something I want to throw out there and just see if you think there's a chance of this, but the Lions are still without Jason Kabinda. Do you think there's any chance they might use him in a fullback situation like they did with Malcolm Rodriguez?
Well, I mean, yeah, possibly. I don't know. You know, and again, maybe that's what they're looking for Malcolm to do, some more fullback stuff. So now that they have that extra linebacker on the roster, you know, they're, you know, again, we talk about they're always playing chess and not checkers. And I think that's one of the things you look at. Trevor has no idea. His dad has no idea. All he knows, he's on the active and I'm ready to go. So he's going to do whatever they ask him to do. And if it's to play fullback, maybe that's it. Or, to, you know, take care of special teams, because Rodrigo's got to play some defense, play special teams, and play fullback now. So, you know, again, it's fun to watch how this 53-man roster develops. And that goes back to what the Lions are doing. They're gonna win with what's in their camp, because what's in their camp's going to do what they ask.
Well, I think you touched on something else that's really important here, is if Trevor's taking over more reps on special teams and contributing on special teams, and therefore somebody else is having to do less on special teams, it allows them to focus more energy on other job assignments. And then they'll get more reps at those positions, and that could help them improve even more at their other positions.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And that's, you know, that's what you're looking for. I mean, the bottom part of the 53 man roster, those guys that work the special team stuff. And, you know, I mean, I remember watching the first one, and you got Rodrigo out there and Campbell out there. And, you know, as a defense coordinator, ex-head coach and stuff, you're looking at going, oh my God, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. And, you know, and then we lose Houston. You know, we lost Houston on a special teams play. And, you know, it's part of the NFL. You have to do both. But I agree with you. It's those guys being able to focus more on the other part of the offense, defense, or, you know, or on special teams.
Okay, Coach, let's get to this Los Angeles Chargers contest. And I'm going to put this out there right now. I might call them San Diego by mistake at some point. You might as well, because they have been that franchise for so long. So don't hold that against us. But let's start talking about what we expect from the Chargers. They have a great offense. Now, it might not have been evident on Monday night, but going into that, Justin Herbert was right there with Jared Goff, top 10 for passing yards per game. And the stats I'm going to throw out do not reflect Monday night, because the Jets have a really good defense and a not so good offense. So that would skew numbers quite a bit. So going into that game, wide receiver Keenan Allen is a top 10 receiver in yards, and he has 12 plays of 20 yards or more. They have a talented receiver room. That's going to definitely keep Cam Sutton and the secondary busy. Mm-hmm. Now, over at running back, Austin Eckler's stats are not going to jump out at you, but he had a really good week one game at running back. He ran for more than 100 yards, but injured his ankle. So he was out for 4 weeks. He's come back, but he's still working back to form. So don't overlook him, because he hasn't been there, but it doesn't mean he's not going to get there. So, Coach, what are your thoughts on the Chargers offense?
Well, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, last year they were putting up some numbers. Keenan Allen's, I mean, that guy, the catch he made last night, that turned the game around. That one-handed over-the-shoulder backflip, I mean, that's the problem when you have guys like that. You know, Gates as the only, second in receiving yards career for the Chargers. You know, I agree with you, Eckler's, and he's a scary running back. You know, you watched him last night run, And the Jets got a pretty good defense, actually a really good defense. And he was taking shot after shot after shot, but he just never gives up. You know, the play that sticks out with me last night was when QB was rolling to his left and he caught that little ball. You know, it was thrown over the linebacker's hand on a scramble route. And, you know, of course, if he doesn't stumble, you know, he probably goes to the house on it. So he's a tough running back. They got, you know, they got good receiver room, and you're going to, you know, we're going to have our hands full and we're out there. I mean, it makes a big difference. You know, last night they were on the road and they still mustered up enough points. And now they're starting to believe that they're going to be a playoff team. So, you know, we're walking into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, the offense is solid on that team and they have a lot of talented pieces. The question is, will they be able to put it together? And they're definitely going to be a test for the Lions defense. Now, looking at the Chargers defense, I learned a little bit more about them when I dove into some numbers, looking at some stats. And going into Monday night, they were last in the league in passing yards allowed per game, 290. But they were number 9 in rushing yards allowed. And if you look, Zach Wilson actually put up some number of yards passing, even though they didn't put any points on the board. So those are like two opposite ends of the spectrum for the defense. What are you expecting out of the Chargers defense?
Well, you got to look at their bookends. You know, Khalil Mack and Bosa. Bosa's just getting healthy back. I think he had a broken foot, wasn't it? Something like that. And you watch the pressure that they put on last night. And I look at some of the, you know, they were moving the ball. And then those guys kind of turn into put another gear in and get to the quarterback and get the pressures. I mean, that's the big thing with those two bookends. So I think they're it's almost like they're a bend, don't break defense. And then those two bookends decide when they're going to want to make a play. I mean, you look at Bosa's play in the first quarter, you know, he gets to the cue back, he reaches down, pulls the ball out of the quarterback's hands, and then he jumps on it. It must be the name Bosa. It seems like that name just keeps being heard around the league all the time. And again, knock on wood, it sounds like we're going to have our offensive line together for the first time or second time maybe this year. And so, you know, that should hopefully offset some of that. But as Bosa gets healthy and Khalil Mack you know, we got some concerns with that front for the Chargers.
I agree. There's some very talented players up there, and it will be interesting to see how well they do against our offensive line. Definitely a great test as well. I think you and I both look at this game as being a pretty good matchup. One of the wild cards I want to throw out there is the Chargers coaching. I think that sometimes has made me wonder about some of the decisions. And so there's a lot of talent there, but it seems like the team just, for whatever reason, gets in its own way at critical times. The thing is, if they don't get in their own way, they're a very good team. Now, right now, they sit at 4-4. Their wins come against the Vikings, the Raiders, the Bears, and the Jets. But don't get too excited out there because their losses have been close. They lost to the Dolphins by 2, the Titans by 3, and the Cowboys by 3. Kansas City was their only double-digit loss this year. So it shows you this is not a bad team. This is a good team with an okay record.
I totally agree with you on that. I mean, you know, you just named it on the wins and the losses and how close they were, you know, and they have the ability. I mean, you got a quarterback that breaks his finger and still's playing with it, you know, and I watched him last night try to he got sacked or something. He avoided that so that he wouldn't hurt the finger again. But they're starting to come together and they're starting to get healthy. You got Bosa and Eckler, the two most players that you hear about other than Hibbert, the quarterback, and their ability to make plays and not make mistakes. Once they start making mistakes, that's when they get into trouble. Like you just said, getting in the way of themselves. And so I think that's one of the things that we got to be concerned with. Nice that it's a short week for them, but we have to travel and it's a long distance travel. So, you know, they're a team that, we do need to be concerned with. But again, Dan Campbell said it, this is week one of a three games in 11 days. And, you know, this is another one, getting 1-0 and winning on the road. and we'll take care of things at Ford Field, hopefully. So,
all right, well, then let's turn and talk about what we expect out of the Lions coming into this game. The obvious, a healthier and more rested team. Everybody practiced, and that might be the healthiest they have been since week one. So that is huge. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a team that is hopefully continuing to get better, maybe some more adjustments to the offense. And I think we're all expecting we're going to see David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield, maybe rotating, maybe together. Now, they've already said it's going to be a rotational thing. You're not going to have one person there. And you and I are not surprised by that. I think some fans might be, but we thought that was their plan all along. And so those are some things that I see coming out of the Lions right from the bye into this game. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I see that. I see the two-headed monster coming out, which we've been trying to get there with Monty and with Gibbs. I mean, that's the biggest thing is you hate when somebody gets injured like Monty. I mean, we were a little nervous about that, but look at the reps that Gibbs got to help us as a better football team now. And again, forced on him more than I know they wanted to use him. You know, I think he's 60 plays or whatever the last game, 65 plays. And but how much fresher are those two going to be being able to split time? And the other thing is too, you know, that we saw it during camp, the two running back sets, you know, where they can move them around and, you know, Monty can catch the ball too. So you're going to have going from a opponent standpoint for the defense coordinator for the Chargers. He right now has to be pulling his hair out, if he's even has any, trying to figure out how he's going to stop those two running backs. Trying to, you know, and again, what's our offense going to look like, and what are we going to pull out of the trick bag for him? So, and now you have your offensive line, knock on wood, that we're going to be healthy. And again, what else happened during this time? We just saw another rookie offensive lineman come in and just play a great game, and it wasn't too big for him. So now we're getting to that point where, hopefully the injuries subside and we don't have to worry about them anymore. But now we're getting to the backup point that the backups can come in and do the job that needs to be done.
Yeah, we had a lot of contributions from depth positions. And hey, if you can have David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs both on the field at the same time, whether it's both in the backfield or one in the backfield and one at wide receiver, you're putting your most talented guys on the field. And that's not going to be easy to scheme against for other defenses. Well, Coach, before we get to predictions, let's look at some major storylines going on. All right. This is one of the tougher games left on the schedule. You and I talked about that. And the Chargers may not have realized their full potential over time, but they do have talent and they do have potential. So as you and I already said, you can't take this game for granted. It's on the road. It's against a talented team. So that's a big thing to keep an eye on. Another thing I want to bring up is Jameson Williams. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us are hoping to see a little bit more production from him the second half of the season, just a little uptick from him in production each week. And again, we don't need that superstar production immediately, but we want to see some growth. And if you remember the Raiders game, he had a nice catch for about 22 yards, and it wasn't a super deep throw. It was more the intermediate range. And, you know, I'm hoping the Lions do more of that. And I'm not the only one. You know, Detroit Lions legend Herman Moore talked about this on social media last week. And he talked about building the confidence of the young receiver. And he pointed out the odds of making a catch goes up significantly on those shorter passes. And so the Lions should maybe feed him there. And Herman suggested that maybe St. Brown and Jame will line up in the slot together. That could be kind of fun to see. Now, Herman also said he's got complete trust in the Detroit Lions coaches. He's just speaking from his perspective from when he played the game and how he built up his confidence. And he kind of reiterated the fact that when you build confidence, it then turns into more success. So little by little, it grows into that snowball effect.
Oh, for sure. If you look at that, you talked about Jamo, you got St. Brown, you got Gibbs, you got Monty. Then I think our tight end's pretty decent. Oh, Laporta. Yeah, that guy, he's doing pretty well. And then you add Peoples-Jones to that. And, of course, we have Reynolds. the thing is the speed we can put on them, and what people don't think about, no matter how you line that up or bring that out there, it's the defense on the opposing defense has to set up personnel. Do you bring in a nickel package or a dime package because we have all that speed on there with two running backs on there? You know, and who are you going to guard? Who are you going to take care of? And maybe J-Mo does run some of those intermediate routes or those dig routes. Maybe St. Brown's, you know, well, St. Brown runs whatever he wants to run because he's that good. And then we have Laporta. So the stress you're going to put on the opposing defense right now with all that speed and knowing that, hey, wait, J-Mo's not just the guy that runs downfield all the time on a go route. He ran that, you know, that 22-yard catch. And I think we tried to throw a flare to him, too, if I remember correctly, right?
And, I think we did.
So, again, that's something else. And the timing was a little bit screwed off. And, you know, everybody, of course, oh, my God, J-Mo dropped him. Well, the timing was messed up a little bit. So those are things that you can see happening. And, again, that self-evaluation that we talked about earlier, that may be something else that the staff evaluated and said, maybe we need to do this or maybe he can do this. And, again, but what I do know and what his confidence level from what I see in him out and reading his social media stuff, he's happy to be there, you know. And, again, I know he wants to produce more, but I still think they're gonna take it one step at a time. And let's go back to the free agency deadline. By not going after a splash player, developed was so good for that locker room that everybody said these guys are true to their word and we want to play for them. So I think those things. I just think that is going to be stuff. A self-motivating thing for all the guys, and it's going to be mentally make them mentally tougher, knowing that their coach and their GM have their back, so they want their, you know, to do the same. I don't know if you agree on that or not, but that's just one of the things that I read into that.
Oh, I agree with that completely, because when I suggested they trade for a wide receiver, I was thinking only because Marvin Jones left the team. And so it was, you were replacing somebody who had left. You weren't replacing, getting rid of somebody and upgrading, so to speak. And so that's the thing. Your actions have to match your words. That's what I say. And the Lions' actions are matching the words. When they say they've got a culture change and they're building a team and people believe in each other, their actions are showing it. And that's exactly what you just pointed out there, Coach. The locker room goes a long way. And if you're saying it and then you suddenly ship somebody out, what are you saying to the rest of the locker room? So that's an excellent point, that one that I didn't think about.
That goes back to Nowoski. It goes back to the same thing. We're not going to let them poach somebody off our roster that we believe is going to be part of our team for the future. So they're doing all the right things from a athletic mindset. Me as a coach, I just love it.
Awesome. Another thing I want to look at or consider is I want to see how the defense does. I mean, do they start getting more pressure like we have in the past? Does that come back up again? And I want to see how the secondary fares as well. And are they, especially against the San Diego game? But another storyline coming out is one Coach Campbell pointed out, you already talked about. The Lions are going to play 3 games in 11 days, and that is one heck of a grind. I mean, that bye week may have made fans hungry, but we are going to get our helping of Detroit Lions football, and it's one game at a time. We start on the road, then we come back home. But, Coach, it's just about time to wrap things up, so that means it's prediction time. What predictions do you have for this game? Again, it doesn't have to be win or loss. Doesn't have to be the score. It can be anything that you think you know about the game.
I think our run game is going to, again, it was pretty good our last game too. But I just think you're going to see us pounding the ball a little bit more with Monty. We're going to get Gibbs on the edge a little bit, but he also showed that he can run between the tackles. I think Peoples Jones is going to get a couple shots thrown his way. So I think our offense is going to sustain better drives because of the continuity with the offensive line back, with all the leaders back, with all the boy, you know, all the guys back. I think, what are they, the Legend of Womb? Have you seen that picture?
I have not.
instead of the Legend of Doom, it's called the Legend of Womb, and it's all the offensive linemen holding their babies. It's friggin' awesome. You got to check it out, man.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yes, I forgot to mention that to you, but I got a kick out of it. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited when I saw that. So, I think that's going to be the big thing. I think we'll get more pressure because I think they're going to free up some guys and do some other things. Again, I should say more sacks, or do we need more sacks? Because our pressures are good. And then we're just going to, I think we're going to be able to neutralize their star offensive players.
Well, for me, this game has a lot of unknowns. I mean, we're coming off a bye. We're going out west. I think it's going to be a close game because that's what the Chargers tend to do. Now, the Chargers don't give up a lot of running yards and they give up a lot more passing, but I can't help if I wonder if that's part of the way some of their games they've played have gone. I think the Lions are going to do better than expected with running the football, because I think the way the game's going to be dictated, I think they're going to see some improvements there, along with, like you said, the offensive line getting healthy, David Montgomery coming back. And I think we're going to see the next evolution of Detroit Lions football. Now, what that means exactly, I can't say, but I think we're going to know it when we see it. And if they just continue on this real slight trajectory up and just keep getting a little bit better every week, it's going to be scary when the snow starts falling.
I like it. I totally agree with you on that, for sure.
Well, Coach, do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Actually, I want to throw a little trivia at you. You know, we always talk about, I think we talked about the last time the Lions lost a game by 32 points the same week. They turned up getting in the playoffs. So let me throw, can you name a team that hired a former player that actually was a tight end that had a mustache, and they hired that player back to lead their team as the head coach? Can you name that?
I think I can. You did not talk to me about this before, and this is the first time I'm hearing this, but I mean, it's got to be Mike Ditka.
Oh, there you go. And I think, not that I'm, looking at that situation, but man, it just seems like that's kind of playing out again, except in Detroit. Just saying. And we know what turned out with that Mike Ditka hire.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, I did not think we were going there, but you're right. A tight end, former player, head coach. And the Bears did okay with him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So just saying, again, no, just throwing that out there if anybody wants to think about it.
But let me ask you, could you ever see Dan Campbell wearing a sweater vest?
No, we could have probably brought that up, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I just had to ask. All right, Coach, rest up these next few days, because then it's 3 games in 11 days. It's going to be an exciting time. We're going to be busy.
Heck yeah, I can't wait.
All right, thanks again, Coach, and thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show, and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.